Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You know you're not supposed to make your dad scream like a girl three times in one day.
Children are the future. Today belongs to me.
Because kids tend to choose friends from the crowd where they themselves feel most comfortable.
I'm Jim Burns. Some have described adolescence as when a child takes every lesson he or she has been taught by his or her parents and basically tosses it right out the window. Okay, it's not really all that bad, but it sure does seem like that sometimes, doesn't it? Their friends seem to be a more important influence over their lives. They're wondering which peer group they fit into. It seems like the last thing they either want or need is to have mom or dad hanging around. But guess what? Deep inside, they really do need your influence, especially during the teen and preteen years. That's why I've invited noted youth expert and parenting expert Wayne Rice to join me here in studio once again for a continuing conversation on ways for us parents to give our children what they really need during this crucial season in their lives. You don't have to like all the changes your son or daughter is going through. You just need to be able to understand them. And that's going to be our focus during the next half hour, right here on Homeward.
From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. Today, part two of a three-part conversation featuring Jim and Wayne Rice, talking about the answer to the question, is it possible to understand your teenager? It is, but it does take some work and it takes some intentionality. I want to remind you that Dr. Jim Burns has written about this extensively in his book called Teenology, The Art of Raising Great Teenagers. If you order a copy of that book, you can get it anywhere, by the way, but if you order a copy directly from our Homeward Online Resource Center. A portion of the proceeds goes to supporting the Ministry of Homeward. It's a tax-deductible donation. It benefits you, it benefits us, and we truly appreciate that. So for more information on how you can order Understanding Your Teenager and help the Ministry of Homeward, go to homeward.com. And now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today's a great day on Homeward. We're having a continuing conversation with Wayne Rice. We had him last time. We're talking about, is it possible to understand your teenager? And I just laugh at that title. I think Roger gave us that title. And it is possible, but it's not easy. And you know what? You can be angry 24/7, 365 with teens or even preteens today. But that doesn't mean that we can't understand them, but it's going to take a lot of extra work. What a privilege to have Wayne Rice with us. He's one of the experts in the world of teens, written several books, great speaker, educator, co-founder of a wonderful organization called Youth Specialists. He's a friend and a mentor to me, has been that way for years. Founder and director of Understanding Your Teenager Ministries, as well as has created the Understanding Your Teenager seminar that we do here at Homeward, as well as Generation to Generation. We've got another seminar called Building Morals and Values. Some of you may not know that. We'll talk a little bit about that today. But today we're going to focus on kids, on teens and preteens. Now, I realize some of you may not have teens and preteens, but this is some great parenting advice and things that we need to learn as a parent. Wayne, welcome back to the program.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's great to be here.
Well, always such a joy to have you. And how important are friends in the lives of teenagers?
Well, I always tell parents that the three most important things to a teenager are, number one, their friends, number two, their friends, and number three, their friends. Friends are the lifeblood of adolescence.
Yeah. I mean, it really seems like that. And yet, at the same time, I've heard you say that actually parents are more influential than friends. Because I think a lot of parents would say, gosh, I have lost my kids to these friends. But parents can still be more influential in some ways than their friends.
Oh, well, absolutely. I mean, but that's not what friends are for. Mm-hmm. The kids are not really looking to their friends for the guidance that they need for a living life itself. They're looking for the companionship. They're looking for the relationship from their friends. They're looking for acceptance from their friends. They're trying. Developmentally, what's happening is that as teenagers are moving into adulthood, they need to make sure that they are accepted by people outside the home. And friends is where they gravitate. Now, in the past, I think there were a lot more adults who were available to them to affirm them. But in today's world, it's primarily their peers serve that function of basically answering the big question for a teenager, which is, Am I okay? Do you like me? And that's what friends are all about. And that's what they're looking for from their friends. They're not looking for the guidance and direction that they need and want from their parents. Parents remain the primary influencer of teenagers until they leave home. We have research, lots of it, that prove that.
Now, when you say that, I'm thinking of a parent who must be thinking, maybe hundreds of thousands of them, saying, as we think about friends, my kid is kind of walking the fence, and he or she has some friends who I really don't like them spending time with. What do you say to them?
Well, first of all, don't panic. I mean, most kids, as they're trying to figure out who they are apart from their parents, they're hanging out with different kids just to see, is this who I am? Is this where I fit? Should I hang out with this group or that group or this guy or that guy? And it's all part of an identity formation thing that's going on with kids, as they're just trying to get a good feel for who am I as a person. And what I tell parents is, you know, we can be part of that process. What we need to do, because birds of a feather tend to flock together, as we all know. So the best way to influence your kids' friends is to give kids such a high view of themselves that they're going to be less likely than to choose friends that are going to drag them down. Because kids tend to choose friends from the crowd where they themselves feel most comfortable. But kids with a lot of self-respect are going to be less likely to choose friends with no self-respect. Yeah. You see what I mean? And so it's first of all, we shouldn't panic. But then second of all, we can stay connected with our kids, get to know our kids' friends, make our home a place where our kids can bring their friends. When our kids were growing up, we changed our vacation rules when they became teenagers to allow you could each bring one friend. And so we had to redo our family vacations to accommodate our kids' friends. But we got to know our kids' friends that way.
That's a great way. And yet at the same time, you just, with having three kids, you just moved to a vacation of eight, so you had to change the way you probably paid for vacations.
You know what
as well.
We did? We stayed closer to home, and we just go somewhere just to get out of our local neighborhood, but not too far away. And we'd rent a condo at the beach or something, and let our kids bring some friends in, and we'd have a great week together.
No, that's great. Now I've heard you say that sometimes peers and even the media, as we talk about other influences, it's kind of influenced by default because sometimes parents kind of give up that influence during the teen years.
Yeah, well, here's what the research tells us, is the parents are the number one influencer, and then extended family members are also very influential and are kind of coming right behind parents. I mean, grandparents don't realize how much influence that they have.
I'm really
on
glad
their
you
grandchildren.
Said that because I want them to hear
it. It's powerful. I know that, as a teenager myself, I can honestly say that I stayed out of trouble mainly because I had too many people to disappoint. I didn't want grandma and grandpa to think badly about their grandson. I mean, I really wanted them to be proud of me. And then our teachers and coaches and youth pastors and other adult mentors that we have as young people, those are the primary influencers. You know, but what's sad today is that for so many kids, their parents are absent. They have no extended family. I mean, their grandparents are nowhere around. And they have no adults that they're connecting with. And as a result, then, the peers, the peer group, and the media, which, according to the research, don't really have that much influence. And I'm talking about ultimate influence here, not just the color of their hair or the music that they listen to this week. But I'm talking about when it comes to values and faith and all of those things. Those things are only influential today by default. That is when the more powerful influencers are absent.
Yeah, and I think you said it last time, rules without relationship equals rebellion. So it's going back to that idea of relationship. I'm glad you brought up the aspect of grandparents, because I'm always amazed how many grandparents listen to our program. I know as a grandparent, that you spend some time with your little grandbaby, and that becomes a place not only wonderful for you, but a security for your grandbaby as that goes on.
Well, yeah, this is what I do right now is, and I don't know if I can keep this up forever, but I spend every Wednesday. He's close enough that I can take time off during
That's
the
great.
Day, and I just am very intentional about it, of going over and spending some time with my grandson, Jack. And I just want to do that. I want to be a a grandpa who's present in his life and watch him grow up and do things with him, and be the help that he's going to need as a right. young boy growing up, and you know, with our own kids, what if you're a parent or a grandparent, it doesn't matter. You have to take the time. You have to make decisions. It's knowing what to do is not the problem. It's actually doing it, being disciplined about it, and making those choices.
Absolutely. It's going to be either the pain of discipline or the pain of regret. And a lot of it does deal with how we can influence our kids. And so even you who are grandparents, you know what? Spend time with your kids, like Wayne's spending with Jack. Influence by default means that it goes toward peers and the media and some of the other issues. You don't want them to be influenced that much by that crowd. I mean, obviously, that's going to influence them, but not to the extent that parents and grandparents can, even aunts and uncles and, you know, special adult friends. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask Wayne about discipline and consequences. How do you do that and help your teenager really become a responsible adult?
Well, these are all things that we as parents and grandparents need to have conversation about, and the more intentional we are, the better it is for our kids. And so today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're talking with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, conversation with Wayne Rice, who is one of the standard bearers for youth workers for many, many years, has trained many of the trainers that have worked with young people. And we're talking about the answer to the question, is it possible to understand your teenager? A couple of resources to share with you. We'll do that in just a moment as Homeward with Jim Burns continues. So glad you've joined us for this special program today.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Bye, Mom.
Oh, bye, Tina. Have fun. So what time would you like us home?
Don't you want to know who we'll be out with?
That would be good to know, I guess.
So you're all right with the fact that we want to go to the movies on a school night?
Girls, why are you asking all these questions anyway?
Yeah. Because we need to know what our limits are, Dad.
Now, you'll probably never live long enough to hear your teenager say, hey, can you add some restrictions to my life? But the reality is, kids really do want to know what's expected of them and what the consequences of violating their boundaries. Sure, most healthy kids will test those limits a time or two or even three, but well-defined boundaries and clear expectations give them stability and security that allows them to grow. And by the way, when you go to our website at homeward.com, you can download a free copy of my tip sheet called 5 Reasons Why Your Kids Want You to Set Boundaries for Them. So check it out. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today with Wayne Rice. Is it possible to understand your teenager? I have my tongue in my cheek as I say that, but you know what? I believe that. I had a great time with my three teens. It wasn't necessarily always easy. Wayne's a great author. He's written several books. He's edited a book that I really like called Help, There's a Teenager in My House, and it's a troubleshooting guide for parents, very, very practical. Co-founder of Youth Specialties, founder and director of the Understanding Your Teenager Ministries, which now is under the banner of Homeward, and we do these Understanding Your Teenager seminars all over the country, as well as other seminars. Noted author and speaker, as I said, educator, married to Marcy. They have 3 grown children, and as Wayne says, he spent some time with his grandson, Jack. That's a pretty special deal. Wayne, I wanted to ask you about discipline and consequences. I find that a lot of people say, you know, it's a little easier to understand discipline when my kids are young. But now that they're moving, you know, kind of toward independence, I'm not really sure how to do the consequence thing. So, hey, there's hundreds of thousands of people pulling for you, Wayne. Let us know what you think.
Well, you're right. I mean, teenagers, they're not children. And with a child, it's real easy to micromanage their lives and make sure they do this and that, and there's punishment and so forth that's involved if they don't. But I always tell parents that when your kids hit adolescence, they're going to fire you as their parent, but they'll hire you back as a consultant.
Yeah.
And that's really, it may sound radical, it may sound awful, but it's true. We want to work ourselves out of a job as parents. And so our discipline style has to change from punishing and the micromanaging that we do when our kids are children, to a style which is more like the consultant. What we do is we want to help kids to make more of their own decisions and learn from their mistakes. And so the best way to discipline teenagers, I mean, we don't, obviously they're too big to spank, is you use consequences and use them effectively and consistently with our kids. That means we set limits. We make sure that our, you know, I always tell parents that sometimes we don't realize that with teenagers, even though we're allowing them more freedom, and hopefully we are as they're getting older, we have to be much more clear about the rules. For example, if you tell a kid, you know, clean your room, they're probably going to argue with you and want you to define the word clean. You know, what do you mean by clean? For example, curfew rules. If you're gonna stay out till 10 o'clock, that's fine, or 11 o'clock, or midnight, whatever your curfew is, depending on the age or the circumstance, you make sure the kids understand exactly what the consequence is going to be if they're not, because there are no natural consequences. We make that difference at our seminars that most people are aware of. There's natural consequences, and there's those that we have to create, which we call logical consequences. But the thing is, the important thing is that you do this with our kids ahead of time, so that they know exactly what the consequences are, and then we enforce them consistently, and that's how you discipline teenagers.
Yeah. Clearly expressed expectations pretty much is a key, and yet most parents don't think about it. We kind of parent by circumstance and chance.
Well, we just end up reacting, and usually overreacting when our kids do things that we don't approve of. And so what you want to do is put the ball in their court. Right. For example, with curfew, if you have a rule that says you have to be home at this time or you're going to lose your going out privilege for 2 weeks, right. We don't have to punish. We don't have to react. All we have to do is help our kids learn from that and say, okay, I'm shocked that you decided to stay home for the next 2 weeks, but I'll take the keys to the car and I'll make sure that your wishes are granted. That's the way it's going to be.
Make that sound so easy.
Well, yeah.
They don't say thank you very much, Dad. I really appreciate it.
It's somewhat of an oversimplification. Yeah, and the kids will give you all kinds of lame excuses and they'll argue with you, but there's no way that they can be upset at you because they knew exactly what the consequences were in advance. They made the decision. And so all you're doing is respecting their choice. And by the way, this builds a kid's self-esteem. Yeah. When you enforce consequences, kids realize, I'm in charge of my life. And that's a good thing for kids to learn. Yeah.
No, and you know what? That makes a lot of sense. Now, you said something that was fascinating. I want to come back to it. You talked about as parents of teenagers, and probably especially teenagers who are a little bit older, not just the 11-year-olds teenagers today, but you said consulting stage. And one of the things that's been helpful for Kathy and myself, and actually Kathy has taught this out of your material, is, you know, there are some stages to parenting. And obviously you're not going to be consulting your 0 to 2-year-old. You're basically going to be what you call catering every need. I'd love for you to go through those stages just kind of quickly, but help us understand, because I think sometimes I think I've been stuck in certain stages and I really need to move on. As a parent, I need to move on, and then my kids can move on too. So talk about the stages of parenting.
Yeah, and I think when we understand these stages, that it just helps us understand that parenting is a job that we try to work ourselves out of. The catering stage comes first, and that's usually, like you say, 0 to 2. But then childhood, classic childhood, is usually from about two until about age 10, somewhere along in there. And that's where we have a controlling stage. The parent's job is to control, establish our authority. Children are only required biblically to obey their parents. Parents are in charge. Parents make all the decisions, and the child may make some decisions, but the parents have already made the decision that they can make that decision. Then comes the coaching stage. We start letting our kids get in the game at about age 10 to about 14 or 15, early adolescence. We still make we can bench them if we have to. We make the rules. We're still in command, but our kids now are getting some experience. They get chance to sometimes call their own place. And then middle to late adolescence, which is 14 or 15 years old on until they leave home, is the stage that we call this consulting stage. And that's where our goal is to help our kids learn enough on their own, both from their good choices and their bad choices, that they're going to acquire the skills that they need then to leave home and become capable, self-reliant adults. The last stage, which I put at 18, 19, 20 on into adulthood, is the caring stage. My children are all grown and have their own families, and I have one that's getting married this summer, but they're off on their own, and we care deeply about everything that goes on in their lives, but we're out of it. We're done. Yeah.
Well, you know, and that's so healthy. But yet, you know, I have a good friend who's the president of a Christian university, and he said, you know, our biggest problem is with the parents anymore. The parents are still in the controlling stage. Because, you know, they're calling us up saying, you know, did Junior do homework and whatnot? How is that detrimental if you don't move from the controlling stage to, say, the, you know, the coaching or the consulting stage?
Well, we handicap our kids. I mean, again, it's, we talked about this earlier. I mean, there's now a whole new stage of late adolescence that Time magazine last year called the Twixters. There was a cover story on this about kids between the ages of 21 and 26 who still feel like children because their parents are still so involved in their lives. Right. And they now say that kids don't become adults until they're 26 or 27 years old. Well, that's a tragedy, really, in today's world. Not so much that our kids aren't assuming adult roles and careers and all the rest. It's just that they are so ill prepared. You know, this is I think in the old days it was called weaning, right? You know, weaning, which of course has never been easy for weaners or weenies.
Exactly,
right?
They've heard that on this program before.
it's a tough process, but it involves understanding that we have got to let go, and that's not easy to do as parents.
No, it's not, and yet it is very important that we do that process, and we can't do it alone. I mean, the good news is we have the church to help us, we have youth ministry to help us, we have children's ministry if they're younger, and we have the Lord. The Lord said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." And I think a lot of times parents feel somewhat left and forsaken as it comes into the teenage years. Wayne, this has been wonderful. Thank you so very much for what you do. Thank you for this conversation, but also thank you for creating the Understanding Your Teenager Seminar. Thank you for creating the Generation to Generation Seminar. Life-changing things. You're great.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's really been great to be with you.
Well, what a pleasure. Roger, tell us more about what's going on with Homeward and how our listeners can hear more about this stuff, not just from our radio program, but also from the great seminars that we do. And why don't you tell us about the resources available to help understand teenagers? Yes, it is possible. Not easy, but it is possible.
Well, that is kind of our life mission here at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, from graduate-level degrees in youth and family ministry to the Youth Sphere Certificate Program for youth workers to the seminars that Jim just mentioned, generation to generation, passing your legacy of faith on from parents to their children, and also the Understanding Your Teenager Seminar. You can find more information about these all at homeward.com. And Jim, I mean, speaking of Understanding Your Teenager, recently an Understanding Your Teenager event, 1,000 parents showed up. It was unprecedented for us, but there's definitely a need for this type of material.
That's an amazing thing. And you know what? Wayne Rice said it was absolutely wonderful. He spoke at it.
Yeah.
My good friend Ray Johnston at Bayside Church was the host. That's not usually the case. Usually we have a smaller number, and I find that in those smaller numbers, sometimes it's great because they can ask questions.
Sure.
So when I'm doing a seminar, oftentimes I'll stand there for an hour, hour and a half, as parents just kind of come up, and all the speakers do that, and I think that's a really neat thing. Understanding Your Teenager. I mean, parenting teens and preteens is actually a major challenge. We need seminars. We need programs like this because it's such a transitional time for everyone involved. It's a transitional time for the kid. It's a transitional time for the parent as well. Our kids are moving from, you know, as I often say, dependence upon us to independence, and that's a good thing, but it's not easy for any of us in many ways. Well, that's why I want to give a couple of tips for helping you do a better job of understanding your teenager. And notice I said understanding your teen or preteen. You do not have to like everything they do. As I tease with you, you're too old for that anyway. What they really need for you right now is for you to be their parent, and that's the verb to parent, which means help your kid, but don't expect them to always say, thank you very much for this discipline and whatnot. And in fact, the first tip goes along with discipline. Go out of your way to connect behaviors with appropriate consequences. This is a big one. In other words, let the punishment fit the crime. For example, say your teenage son has a curfew of maybe 11 p.m. He's going to be a little older for that. And he's not allowed to go to any party where there is alcohol involved. And if he stays out till midnight at a keg party, well, he's broken two family rules, and so he's grounded for 1 week for breaking the curfew and another week for the, you know, going to this kegger, if you would. Again, the punishment has to fit the crime. If you say you're grounded for the rest of your life, that's not going to work. But also, if you don't ground them for something that important, then it says, I really don't care.
Yeah.
So it has to fit the crime. Now, if they only blew one thing, you know, then you probably don't do the 2 weeks, but you do 1 week. And you find what fits them. For example, as they get older, it's the car keys. When they're younger, it might be the phone. It might be a soccer game. That's really important, but yet, you know, they went past their experience with that. Punishment that fits a crime. I often find that if kids will help find that punishment and talk about it, create it together, then it sometimes is easier and they begin to parent themselves, if you would.
Yeah.
It's kind of that consequence. Second tip is that if you operate under the no-talk rule, we'll break it right now because you want to be able to talk and communicate with your kids. And I realize teens don't always talk and communicate to their parents, but successful families do talk to each other, even when the subject matter isn't all that pleasant. So communication is a vital tool for maintaining a healthy family. If you need help doing so, then Homeward is here to help you with tools to build your children up spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And for a complete list of the materials available to you and also more information on that Understanding Your Teenager seminar, you can always go to homeward.com. And be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Wayne Rice. We'll be looking at the answers to the question, is it actually possible to understand your teenager? So I hope you'll join me for that. Till then, I'm Jim Burns from Homeward. Thanks for listening.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.